We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
The Kinda Funny Patreon pledge drive month rolls on, and if you missed it, we put up two episodes from the 300 exclusives on patreon.com/kindafunny over the weekend on YouTube. Check them out, and if you like it, toss us $10 on patreon.com/kindafunny to get the other 298 plus pieces of content.
What the heck is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Kinda Funny XCast, your home for all things Xbox here at Kinda Funny. Of course, I'm one of your show hosts, Snowbike Mike, and I am back again with just one of my gaming dads, Mr. Gary Witta. Gary, how are you today?
I'm very well. So this is, you told me right before we went on, this is the 150th show.
Episode 150, Gary Witta, since the beginning.
Back with Alana
number.
In the beginning, yeah.
Yep,
that's amazing.
You and I and Alana, we've had Paris, we've had a number of special guests.
Many special guests.
And today we have a very special guest.
We do.
For episode 150, we have IGN's own Destin Legarry. Of course, you know him from Podcast Unlocked, or maybe you know him as a small business owner of Legarry Bakery. You can get some dope cookies over with Destin. And of course, he has a very successful personal YouTube channel that I know a bunch of Xbox users have been watching and listening to because he's done a fantastic job curating the news and giving his perspective. So let's welcome in Destin Legarry for episode 150. Destin, what's up, homie?
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the shout out and the invitation to come on the show.
Yeah, of course, Destin.
Destin, is that your own animated personal brand identity behind you there?
It is.
That's
yeah,
very cool. I got to get one of those.
I had that made by Get Wrecked Labs, and I'm like, I really like Mass Effect and spaceships, so they designed that, and I've had that for a few years now, but I really like it.
Yeah, is this your standard podcasting streaming? Because you're very well composed. I feel like Room Raider would love what's going on behind you. You've got the lighting, you got the video game memorabilia, you've got a YouTube. What is that, for 100,000? What is that?
That's just hit 100K on YouTube.
Look at that.
Largely due in part because of me reading legal documents from the Activision Blizzard case and just giving my personal perspective. Like the goal of the YouTube channel was for me to have that outlet, to have a direct conversation with the Xbox community about just my perspective on gaming. One of the first videos I made was the day Xbox almost died, talking about the moment when Phil Spencer and Satya Nadella sat down and had that conversation about where the Xbox brand was going to go going forward, and it kind of blew up, so I just kept going from there. Very
look at that.
Look at how far you've come. Yeah. The lighting is so much better now.
Yeah. Well, I have a key light and a fill light over there, but like I'm constantly messing with the lighting, but it's set up right now to this channel's lighting. When I do IGN stuff, I'll switch out the lighting for like Unlocked or whatever. We were in San Francisco to where I live now. I had a plan to build this space so it was multifunctional, right? So I get to be remote with the kids and my wife and still do the video game thing. It's great.
I got to be honest, I want one of those YouTube play buttons.
You put in the work like Destin.
Well,
YouTube play button. You got to put in the work.
Listen, all I did, like I had fucking Selena Gomez on my talk show. And it wasn't good enough.
Did you put those on YouTube?
Yes, I did. And here's the thing. So my YouTube channel is stalled out at 30,000 subscribers.
Stalled out.
If I can get to 100, I think is the minimum, well, they'll send you one of those buttons.
Yeah, that's the goal.
I don't know how to get there.
Well, you can start here.
What could I do?
You tell the audience where to find you.
YouTube.com/GaryWitta.
There it is.
Subscribe.
I mean, you told Xbox to send you a controller. Look what happened. If you want subscribers on the YouTube channel,
there she is. There's Selena. That's the real. Nobody believed that was the real Selena Gomez.
That's crazy.
But it really was.
I was part of that. I saw that. It was an incredible experience.
One of my proudest moments.
I'm proud of you, Gary, on that. Let's talk Destin, though, because, of course, Destin.
Yeah, let's talk about me,
Let's
Gary.
Talk Destin
you gotta,
for
you gotta,
a little
you
bit,
be
Gary.
Nice guest.
Of course, you are. I have a big segment for you in just a little bit. Let's focus on Destin, because Destin, of course, I am a massive fan of yours on Podcast Unlocked, all the stuff you do at IGN, and I've loved that you've created your own YouTube channel. I listen and learn a lot from you and what you've covered with that Activision Thanks. Blizzard King, of course, acquisition. So great job on that. But I want to talk cookies because I got a sweet tooth,
okay.
Destin. And I want to talk about where the cookie idea came from because, of course, many people know you're the video game guy. So why did you want to become a baker all of a sudden?
Okay, it's sort of, the real reason is because I was curious what it took to start an LLC. So we started the Legarry Bakery LLC company, and my wife was like, you know, we had one son at the time. Now we have two boys in the house. And my wife was kind of like, you know, I want something to do where I could also stay at home because I work from home, obviously, where I could, you know, just do something and still, you know, raise our kids together. So we started the cookie business, and it did really well in the first year. As you know, like a lot of food businesses don't do well in their first year. We were profitable, so that was great. Year two, it's a little slower, if I'm being totally honest, because like shipping charges went through the roof this year because everybody raised their rates. But long story short, it was just a thing we thought we would try, and it was more successful than we could have imagined. So pretty happy with it.
That's really rad, Destin.
And the cookies are good. Taylor over at IGN says better than Levain. So yeah,
you got to come out with a good cookie. That's the truth.
I mean, it's a saturated market, right? What do you do to stand out in the cookie space?
These were big, meaty cookies, right?
I mean, it's just about quality. You can market it all you want, but you've either got the goods or you don't, right? When it comes to cookies.
Mm-hmm. Gary, what's your favorite kind of cookie?
I've got two.
Two cookies, tell me.
And you know, you're probably going to turn your nose up here.
Okay.
White chocolate macadamia.
Okay.
Oatmeal raisin.
Not bad on my... See, I'm not a cookie snob. I'm open to all cookies.
Yeah.
I like that.
You should go to Hot Cookie in the Castro.
Okay.
Destin will know about it. Will know what it is. Destin. One of the best cookie places in the city.
Really?
Yeah. They're actually... Yeah, they're good.
Destin, what are your favorite
specials?
Cookies?
Well, besides ours, I think ours are great, honestly. I really do like our cookies a lot. When I was in San Francisco, I love specialties. Specialties were cookies from, I believe they're a chain, but anyway, they're pretty good. Large cookies, really dense, really good chocolate cookies, actually. And then my go-to, though, it's really simple. It's chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip.
I mean, that's the classic, the right?
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself to be a snickerdoodle type of guy.
I like a snickerdoodle. My daughter likes snickerdoodles.
I like those a lot. And I also find myself red velvet cookies I'm into lately.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why not. I don't know why I got on it, but all of a sudden I like those a lot.
We got to get you to Hot Cookie in the Castro. We'll get you over there.
Yeah, we'll get some treats.
Bring a camera. Mm. We'll make content out of it. We'll do kind of funny.
Kind of munchies.
Kind
Mike
of cookies.
Mike and Gary edition. We try cookies.
Let's do it.
I love that. We'll get some Destin cookies. Now, Destin, of course, we have you on. You are our guest of the day, episode 150. And, of course, it wouldn't be right to ask you, of course, what you've been playing lately? What's new? What's fresh over on your side?
Baldur's Gate 3. I love that game. I've nominated it for Game of the Year. We get to nominate whatever we want, so like it's not like a hard thing to do, but it just is blowing me away. I absolutely am in love with that sort of narrative storytelling where you can go down a lot of different trees. Gary, I don't know. You've done a lot of video game writing also, right?
Only for about 35 years, but yeah.
Yeah. So like, are you playing Baldur's Gate 3? What would it take to make the different kind of branches that game has? It's like way more than what Mass Effect
you mean like actually writing video games, not writing about video games. Okay. So, I've written several, and I don't know. I feel like I've only probably got about 20 hours in so far. So I'm still kind of scratching the surface of what's possible. Players who are deeper in are really amazed by just how much, you know, you might think you're not able to do it, but you are, you know, just so many things like that. And I would just say, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it more, but like in general, I agree. It's also currently my game of the year. It's the game to beat. And it came out of nowhere. Cause like, I know I'm not a big hardcore RPG D&D guy. So like it was on the corner of my radar. Oh, Baldur's Gate. Yeah. I remember that when I was on PC Gamer. D&D guys are really into that, but I'm probably not going to play it. But we agreed that Felicia Day and a couple of other friends of mine were like, let's stream it because you can do a four-player party. So they, well, even if the game sucks, right, it's just fun to play together. But we got into it. We played a couple of nights now, and like 7 or 8 hours as that multiplayer group. And I'm absolutely just blown away by it. It came out of nowhere. It's clearly now my game of the year. There's a couple of things still to come, but Baldur's Gate 3 has set the bar. And it's like suddenly we're all like, it's like so many people are like surprised. Like, oh shit, like this came out of nowhere. It's the game of the year. It was low key. Like there wasn't a lot of hype behind it if you're not into the hardcore RPG world. But like my thing, and I've been talking about it this week, is I'm not a hardcore RPG guy, but I can see how amazing it is. I can only imagine what the actual real hardcore D&D, like old school RPG community, they must feel like they fucking died and went to heaven, because it is like probably the best example of like true old school RPGs that I've ever seen. Like it's flawless. I haven't seen anything wrong with it yet. It's so inventive. There's so much dialogue. The characters are great. The world is beautiful. I've never seen a game that utilizes the kind of perspective engine that this thing has, where, you know, it just feels like it's not isometric, but it's not like typical, you know, open world. It's its own thing. It looks unique. The graphics are amazing. Production design is amazing. The systems are really deep and complex. There's so much to get into. We're still discovering all the things you can do. It's like, if you love RPGs, this game is like manna from heaven. It's incredible.
I love hearing you hyping about. Tell me, Destin.
I haven't been blown away by games like this since Mass Effect 1, maybe, where you're just totally immersed in what is happening with these characters and the voice acting and the performances just throughout. And the fact that you can have widely different experiences based on how you approach a situation is very fascinating to me. And yeah, for me, it's between this and Zelda. Zelda did something really interesting with the building mechanic, but this just released an RPG that is nearly perfect. Like it's really, really astounding what they've managed to accomplish. And Starfield's got a tough bar to hit.
Starfield is like the last bit. I think Spider-Man 2 is going to have something to say as well, just because those last two Spider-Man games were 10 out of 10.
Good.
So those, I may be missing something, but I feel like Starfield and Spider-Man 2 will probably be the two games that round out the game of the year conversation. Tears of the Kingdom obviously will be in there as well. Maybe a couple of indies that we're not talking about, Dave the Diver and other things that people are loving right now.
Final Fantasy
But I'm
16.
Telling you, like 2 weeks ago, I wasn't even thinking about Baldur's Gate for Game of the Year consideration. It's like with a bullet, it is now the game to beat.
I love hearing you guys so positive on it, because I have the same experience. I am so high on this game. It is my current Game of the Year.
I wouldn't have thought it'd be your cup of tea, Mike.
Gary, I love it. I love just sitting down and getting lost in the narrative. And like you said, adding four-player multiplayer is a big deal for me, where me and my friends are role-playing, acting dumb, making decisions that we instantly regret or we laugh at and just think it's so dumb and fun. Like, it is wild to experience this and say, hey, this is truly the year, Gary, where I've stepped out of my comfort zone with gaming, and a lot of the front runners in my Game of the Years are games that I would never typically play. Right, you think of Dave the Diver, a small indie title that I don't really gravitate towards indies. Love that game. First ever Final Fantasy for me, Final Fantasy 16. Can't stop and get enough of that game.
Right? I don't think it'll be in the conversation, but my most played game this year is Diablo 4. Now, people have soured on that a little bit, but like, I still think that's a tremendous game at its core. They did a great job with Diablo 4.
Destin, do you think Diablo 4 is out of this Game of the Year conversation? Do you think it has soured with the audience, where at the end with Jeff Keighley's, you know, Game Awards, we won't see Diablo 4 in the top five?
I think that most people who will be voting for Game of the Year would probably still have Diablo 4 on their list, but I think a wider conversation, like people who leveled past 50 to 100 and such, that grind for the second half of the game really gets fatiguing.
Yeah, and Season 1 has not gone down well with players either.
Yeah, and then Season 1 comes out, they release this patch that they have to have an emergency live stream to apologize for and say, we're never going to do a patch like this again, and then revert a lot of those changes. There were changes like to Whirlwind Barbarian, where they nerfed it so hard that it's like incredibly weak and not really fun to play anymore. It's like lowest on the tier right now. And like, I was playing Sorcerer in the Eternal Realm, and then they like destroyed my Sorcerer build, basically. And that's not super fun. So, you know, I switch over to Bonespear Necromancer, had a lot of fun in Season 1, but like, there's inventory issues. There's just a lot of
things.
Yeah. that just went, it was like I was riding the high on Diablo 4 also, and then I crashed really hard with these patches that just destroy your character builds over and over again so quickly. Also, let us have a little fun for a few months.
Not to derail this too much.
Hey, we can get deep in it. Let's get lost with it, you guys.
There's been so much negativity because of the patches and because of season one, and most of the conversation about Diablo right now is criticism, and rightly so. Again, Blizzard messed up and they've made some mistakes that they need to correct. But I think what gets forgotten in that is, like, look at the good stuff. Like, they built, like, the foundation of that game. There's a tremendous game there. They brought Diablo back. Like, you know, I would say that Diablo 4 is, if you think about it as like the next continuation of a great franchise, it's not as great as Baldur's Gate 2 to Baldur's Gate 3, But if you go from Diablo 3 to Diablo 4, like, it's a big improvement. It feels like, I think I said to you last time we talked about it, it's the first game that feels like this was made by like 90s Blizzard, not what it is now. Like, they tapped into like what makes Blizzard special, and it does so much right. And I do think they'll eventually fix, you know, because they can keep patching it and getting it where it needs to go. But out of the gate on day one, everyone was talking about what an amazing job they did. And then it started to get replaced by the negativity because of the patch in season one. But let's not forget, it is still a really good game. I think I'll get nominated for a lot. I don't think it'll win anything, but I think it's going to get nominated.
Okay.
RPG category.
Nominated, yes. Nominated.
Yeah. And
yes.
That's the thing, is it's not going to win any categories either, because RPG, forget about it. Baldur's Gate. Yeah.
Well, that's what our main topic of today's show will be. Is Xbox gamers missing out on the game of the year? We're going to talk about what's up with Baldur's Gate 3, and can you expect it on your Xbox console anytime soon? Because, of course, this is the Kinda Funny XCast we post each and every Thursday at 6 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, RoosterTeeth.com, and, of course, on podcast services around the globe. Don't forget, we are now Epic Games partners, which means if you're buying games off the Epic Games Store, if you're upgrading your look in Fortnite, Rocket League, and or Fall Guys, please use our Epic creator code KindaFunny at checkout. And talking about support, we always like to thank those who support us over on Patreon, just like our Patreon producers for the month of August, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney. Thank you all so much for your support on Patreon. Of course, this XCast is sponsored by Shady Rays and Liquid IV, but I'll tell you all about that in just a little bit. Guys, let's continue the Baldur's Gate 3 talk, because Xbox gamers are missing out on all this fun that you two just shared at the top of the show, because we have a small issue over there with this one. Let's talk about it. Of course, if you don't know, Baldur's Gate 3 is a story-rich, party-based RPG set in the universe of Dungeons & Dragons, where your choices shape a tale of fellowship and betrayal and survival and sacrifice and the lure of absolute power.
Our group's much bigger on betrayal than fellowship.
I love that, yeah. Gary. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about some wild facts about this. Of course, it released on August 3rd for PC. It's expected September 6th for PS5. Xbox has a date that is unknown. Over the release weekend, the Metacritic sat at 96 with a user score of 9.4. And on August 6th, the peak concurrent count on Steam hit 814,000 players, putting the game in the top 10 of Steam's all-time concurrent player list. So it is red hot.
It's killing it by every metric.
So, Gary, the big question is, what's up with the Xbox version? Of course, players are dying to play this RPG, and of course, you would love to see it released on all consoles at the same time, but we have a small hitch that we need to talk about. Right now, the Xbox version's release date is currently in limbo due to an issue regarding two-player split-screen co-op on the Xbox Series S. Developer Larian Studios said, following yesterday's PS5 and release date announcement, we've clarified that right now we're planning to release Baldur's Gate 3 for PC, Mac, GeForce Now, and PS5. That said, we have no exclusivity for which platforms we can bring Baldur's Gate 3 to or when, and will announce support for additional platforms if and when we're ready. We're seeing a lot of varied interpretations of what that means, so we wanted to clarify further. We've had an Xbox version of Baldur's Gate 3 in development for some time now. We've run into some technical issues in developing the Xbox port that have stopped us from feeling 100% confident in announcing it will until we're certain we have found the right solution. Specifically, we've been unable to get split-screen co-op to work to the same standard on both Xbox Series X and S, which is a requirement for us to ship. There's no platform exclusivity preventing us from releasing BG3 on Xbox day and date, should that be a technical possibility. if and when we do announce further platforms, we want to make sure each version lives up to our standards and expectations. That is the statement from the team over at Larian Studios. Of course, we just hyped up how much fun we're having with it.
Loving.
No release date in sight. Destin, what is up with this? Of course, the question on everybody's mind is Xbox Series S holding back the Xbox Series X and the Xbox community from great games?
I believe Larian has come out and said basically that's not quite what's going on right now. I have to imagine, and I'm just guessing here, that there's some issue with CERT where the Series S isn't passing, where the game's not running in a way that Larian is approving of, based on their statement, obviously. So it is a huge bummer that the Xbox delay is being held back by this old hardware. Inversely, though, you can get this thing running on a Steam Deck. So if it can work on a Steam Deck, what is happening with the Series S that is holding it back and not allowing it to function in a way where it's working to Larian's standards?
How well is it working on Steam Deck, though? I've heard it's not brilliant. Like, it's serviceable.
Probably not great.
Yeah.
it's not hot.
Yeah. And obviously, that's what they're trying to avoid. They don't want people saying it's not great on Series S or whatever. Like, Microsoft, I'm sure, have their checkboxes. Like, if your game can't perform this, and this, we're not going to ship it. Bring it to us when it can do these things. Right.
I have to imagine they've dipped it down to 720. They're probably doing 30 frames per second, and they're still probably getting huge lurches in their frame rate on the Series S. I'm just guessing, but it has to be some sort of hardware limitation given the fact that it's just a less powered device. And I wonder if this will cause Xbox to reevaluate the necessity to launch everything on the Series S and X, because eventually they left the One X behind and said, well, we're going to stream Flight Simulator to that platform.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes. The interesting question, of course, is a lot of things. Like Destin brought up, this Microsoft policy that enforces gameplay features feature parity across Xbox Series X and S. Of course, you're in a new generation. You don't want to get muddled messaging like you've always talked about, Gary, of not knowing what is coming to what.
Right.
And what is clear, what is not clear on that one. So is that going to be a factor leading up, right? Like, this is the first one we're really seeing. We saw Halo Infinite ditch split-screen co-op, of course, as well. Is this something that we'll see future down on the hardlining games, Gary, that could be a problem?
I think it's a really fascinating thing that we're seeing right now. You know, as you know, when we've talked a lot on the XCast before about how we thought the Series S was a really smart move, right? It's the, like I've said before, the best console for most people, right? It's plenty powerful enough if you don't care about 4K. It's a cute little, you know, box. It's tiny. It, you know, needs more memory. But, you know, they're fixing that, right? There's the 1 terabyte version has been announced. So I still think it's a great machine. I think what's happening now is maybe we're starting to see the flip side of the coin a little bit as we're like a couple of years into this generation. Games clearly are only becoming bigger, more expansive, more demanding of the hardware. And as that continues, the Series S is going to continue to lag behind and potentially be an anchor for Xbox, because again, on these high-end games, it's not just about, you know, you have to build a game that is gonna run on the Series S, and that could even potentially like cap the top end. It's like some of the things we would do on Series X if we didn't have to worry about the Series S, we're not doing those, right? So is it even like hamstringing performance on the Series X? The interesting thing, so this is a really interesting question, and you touched on it. I don't want to pose a hypothetical to both of you, because it came from the Larian thing. Like, it's a requirement that the game runs on Series X and Series S for them to ship it, right? That's a Microsoft rule. If I'm, like, you're Phil Spencer, and so is Destin right now. If I come to you as Larian and say, look, we have looked at this every which way. We have tried everything. Microsoft's own engineers have come in and like, we have tried everything we can do. We cannot get it running on the Series S in a way that is acceptable. So here we are. We have one of the best games of the year. It just won, like, 10 different Game of the Year awards. You can ship it on Xbox this year, but only on Series X. If you're going to insist on it running on Series X and S, then there's no, we ain't shipping it. What do you like? So what do you do?
Destin, I'll let you start. What do you do, Destin? You're the big boss. What are you going to do?
Stream it. xCloud. Figure out your marketing messaging around that, why you're making that decision, and don't let PlayStation get a semi-exclusive on their console for the year that you could also have on the Xbox brand as well. Now, I'll caveat that with one thing. I do wonder if this could somehow end up on PC Game Pass or some sort of Xbox, the Xbox app as a full purchase, as opposed to launching on the console. Like, just at least get it in the Xbox ecosystem in some manner. But if the Series S is really just not allowing the game to run at a standard that it needs to be, then use xCloud. You built the technology, utilize it. At some point, that console will need to be left behind.
Yeah, so right? It could be local on Series X and then streaming only on Series S. I mean, again, there's so many ways that this could play out, and there's positives and negatives on both, right? If it's Series X only, they could say, oh, it's the first game to only be on Series X because it's so high-end, and that becomes like a thing. But all the Series S owners, I think, would rightfully say, this isn't what I signed up for when I bought the Series S. I bought this on the understanding that all Xbox games would be on it.
That was
now you're
problem,
telling me
Garrett.
I'm not going to have this one, and it's one of the best games of the generation? No. So they really can't do that. I wonder if the solution is, like a few things are going to happen here. I don't think them not shipping it on Series S is going to happen.
It has to. It's selling so well.
The thing is, it's not going to come down to something as binary as it can either run on Series S or it won't. It could just be, well, the Series S is not going to have split-screen multiplayer. Like, it just won't have that feature.
But I think that's a hard line for Larian. Yeah. I don't think Larian will agree to that. They're like, this has to work on the Series S. Like,
but what happens if they can't get it there? Is cloud streaming is the only solution?
Larian is an idealist as a company based on their no microtransaction policy, no DRM, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think they say, look, it's this or we don't launch it on Xbox, and we're fine with that.
God, you're leaving so much money on the table, though, and that would be such a bad look for Xbox too. That to me is the apocalyptic scenario. I think they will do anything they can to avoid that.
Yeah, I think Xbox gets their engineers on it ASAP.
Right,
working.
If I was Phil, I'm like, let me give you every Xbox engineer I've got who knows the Series S inside and out to help you figure this out.
And that
you got to do it.
That is the word on the team that at this time Microsoft has sent engineers from their Xbox Advanced Technology Group ATG to go over and assist with the team right now.
Yeah.
So they are working on that, but there is no foreseeable date anytime soon on this one. Also, another interesting one, we get caught up with local split-screen co-op. Once again, seems to be a talking point / conversation starter here, where we saw this with Halo Infinite. The audience wanted it. They were receptive to, of course, Halo being split-screen co-op, but we've also talked about how everyone is kind of online, where you don't get the couch party as much as you used to anymore. And this big, big, meaty RPG, what hangs in the balance is split-screen co-op.
I'm a little curious about how split-screen's even going to work. What happens when one player is in the middle of a battle and another player initiates a cinematic with an NPC?
So that is the big conversation because, of course, Gary and Destin, you both know when you're playing Baldur's Gate 3, it is endless freedom. And, of course, speaking on the Friends Per Second podcast, Lucy James did speak with the head of Larian, and the big quote that got pulled from that was, we have split-screen and multiplayer, the combination of which is what makes it so complicated when it's talking about running on Xbox and just in general, because we don't run a live service. We run the servers on your machine itself. So that means you have four consoles that have to work together and simulate where the four players are in different locations, which is very complicated and it takes a lot of memory.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, yeah. You know, tell me, Destin.
You know, it's sort of funny that this is coming up because Obsidian just released their dev doc where they're talking about Avowed and how that was originally going to be multiplayer. And then they said, I actually regret that. I don't remember who it was speaking exactly, but they said, I actually regret pushing for that for so long. And now it's just I believe it's a single player experience. So they were going to do this exact same thing. And they're like, yeah, we decided against it because it's going to take too much time. It's not our forte. And we're just going to go a different direction for Avowed. Yeah, it is an interesting point to bring up, and I find it somewhat interesting that Obsidian also encountered problems with it.
Yeah,
I think they will solve it. I think especially now in the last, if anything, the efforts to get this shippable on Series S went into overdrive in the last couple of weeks. As you know, it's got to be a priority release for Xbox. Xbox can't not have this game.
Mm-hmm. You got right? when is now, right? Gary and Destin, we talk about this all the time, right? You have that first impression; it's red hot. And then things cool down, and then they ice cold, right? When do you need this on Xbox? Can we get it out by the holidays? Is next year too late? Is February next year too late?
I think it's
going
to be next year because this holiday's already stacked. We know what the big games are. I think it could be early next year.
And you'd still get the excitement from Xbox?
Yeah, of course, because look, I say this all the time. I don't consider... I I play games not the minute they're available to me, but the minute I'm available to the game. Like, I'm a busy guy. I got two kids. A lot of games I don't play on launch day, especially because so many of them are broken on launch day and you have to wait for a patch. I'm still waiting to play Cyberpunk. I'm always like, oh, the next patch I'll get to it. I'll play it when I'm ready. There's other games to play. I said before, I don't really care about how long we have to wait. If it comes out February next, Baldur's Gate 3 comes out on Xbox February next year, great. If it comes out next summer, great. If it comes out next September, great. Obviously, the sooner the better, just as long as we are getting it. And it's interesting. Series S aside, I don't know if Destin's tried this yet, but I'm actually interested to know how it even works on controller. Because it supports controller, and it's
really
shipping.
Well.
It's shipping on PlayStation actually, 5.
People say it works well.
I was going to play on controller, and then play on mouse and keyboard. And it's so dense, and so I understand how Diablo 4 works well on the controller because it's very simple. Baldur's Gate, though, you've got like 20 spells and so many things on the screen at once. How does it map to a controller? I have no idea.
I've seen some people play on controller, and it looks like it brings up radial menus where you can access all of those options.
Okay.
And it seems like it works really well. And I believe Brittany Brombacher, I don't know how to say her last name, but she was playing on controller, chilling on the couch.
Yeah, she had a PS5 controller, right?
Yeah. She plugged in her PS5 controller and was having a good time with it. So I think it's going to translate really well. And that's refreshing to hear.
Diablo, yeah. I mean, Blizzard did a good job with the radials on Diablo 4 on controller. It works brilliantly on controller. I'm looking at Baldur's Gate 3, and there's so much more.
Age of Empires did a good job with controller as well. I mean, Gary, here's my thing, is I'm loving this game so much, but I am sick of sitting in the computer chair playing it. I want to be on the big screen. I want to be on the couch.
Right.
Because it is a meaty RPG that I want to get lost in. I really love the narrative.
I think it'll be a great
I love
big screen
the choice.
Experience.
I want to be on the big screen. I don't want to be crammed up at the computer desk anymore, especially with something that's supposed to be so big, right? Hundreds of hours.
Yeah, you can hook your PC up to your big screen TV. Man.
I can, but you know what? I'm an Xbox gamer. That's my TV console. And man, this is a big miss for Xbox. This is something that should be here day one when the fervor is red hot because it makes business sense. It makes money. It makes dollars. And for the gamers on the other side, what if I'm not in the mood for Baldur's Gate because I've already watched Twitch streams. I've already died down off the hype and I'm on to the next thing, right? What if Avowed and Hellblade are the next big RPGs that I want to sink my teeth into when this is supposed to come out at the end of the year, next year, whenever they finally put the date on?
Listen, so much to the extent that we care about this kind of stuff, this is definitely a propaganda win for the PlayStation fanboys right now.
Huge.
The PlayStation fans are making a lot of hay out of this right now. And so, the best thing that Microsoft can do is like get it running on both and get it shipping as soon as possible. Maybe the way that they make up for this is they get it on Game Pass.
That would be a big win. That'd be a big win. Destin, you brought up another fun one that I want to segue to about Avowed. Of course, recently, actually yesterday, Obsidian Entertainment had their 20th anniversary doc go live on YouTube. It's the finale of their 5-part doc series. And the studio head spoke about the initial vision for Avowed was to be a multiplayer co-op experience, and they wanted it to be the interesting selling point to publishers before they were purchased by Microsoft. And of course, the studio head was kind of heels deep on this and then finally said, hey, I am wrong. And the studio had problems kind of pipelining what this multiplayer cooperative experience would be coming from a very single player rich history that they've had. We saw this earlier. Of course, we talk about Redfall and that mistake that Arkane did with multiplayer. Destin, do you think Avowed would have been that? Or do you think that multiplayer games in like a single player heavy studio would have worked here?
I'm not sure. I mean, I would have loved if it had the same features that Baldur's Gate currently has. It sounds like they tried it, they couldn't figure out the tech, and they moved on to triage what they had already built and create a more thorough experience in terms of storytelling, right? So they double down on what they want to do with the story, and they're going to have a shorter, tighter experience for Avowed. Now, my biggest reaction to Avowed was more about the art style change versus the from concept to final. But the further I get away from my initial shock of what I thought it was going to be versus what it is, and you know, looking at Pillars and what that art style looked like in the older games, it sort of makes sense. And I am excited to see what they've created, but it is a bummer that they won't have features like what we're currently lauding from Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, isn't it so interesting? We are, this industry right now is very much on their tippy toes. They're trying to be agile, but also at the same time not sink into the wrong move. We look at PlayStation heavy into games as service right now is where they kind of want to take that business model. We just saw Arcane and, of course, Redfall make the move to multiplayer, and that just did not work for them in that style of game. And you look at a team that is known for single-player games, and we always talk about filling the team at Xbox, encouraging developers to go make the game that they want to make, right? And if that is the choice of multiplayer, then it's interesting if that's what it would have been. But I think hot off the heels of Redfall, a lot of people would have been very apprehensive if they heard that Avowed was multiplayer after what we just saw with that one. I don't know if Xbox players would have been too hot and receptive to it on the initial showcase of it.
On the multiplayer issue and bringing it back to Baldur's Gate, I'm really glad that they did not make that decision at Larian. Even though, like, I'm sure they looked and said, well, making this work in multiplayer is going to present all these challenges. Like, they could have said, let's not bother, right? And they could have shipped just the single player component of the game, and it still would be 10 out of 10. It'd still be a game of the year contender. It's brilliant. You can, and many people are right now, like you said, record numbers on Steam, having a fantastic time just playing the single-player version of the game with, you know, with NPC characters rounding out your party. But as with so many games, particularly this one, playing with a group of other people is like such a fun multiplier. And they solved these problems in so many brilliant ways. I maybe it's been done before, but I've never seen it. The whole business of, like, anyone can initiate a cinematic, but it doesn't pull everyone into it. It just lets you know, hey, someone is having a conversation with an NPC in your earshot, and you can join in at any time. That's brilliant. And they came up with so many ingenious solutions to not just make this work in multiplayer, but like actually make it additive and a better version of the game.
I like it a lot, Gary.
Yeah.
I am a little disappointed. I thought there would be more of a voting system if we were playing multiplayer, where we all kind of vote on what we want, and maybe it like randomizes and chooses one or the other, or if two out of one vote, it goes like that. But it doesn't seem like it. It seems like whoever's the host, they get the end all be all. I click on this, it's my call.
Yeah, because the primary campaign member, like the party leader, they always have the final say.
So you can register the Twitch integration, which I like.
The Twitch integration is terrific.
Yeah. Let's talk something that's right up Destin Legarry's alley right after a word from our sponsors.
This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price, durable frames, and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures just like Mike likes them. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no question asked. And every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life, from childhood cancer patients to young adults with serious health conditions. Exclusively for y'all listening right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Y'all know how much I love to stay hydrated, and Liquid IV makes it easier and better than ever to ensure that I'm always living my best, most hydrated life. And you can too. Liquid IV, the number one powered hydration brand in America, is now available in sugar-free with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, and you can keep your daily routine exciting with 3 new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. Let me tell you, the white peach is good. It's real good. We hear it kind of funny, swear by this stuff. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Now sugar-free, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplayer sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KINDAFUNNY at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code KINDAFUNNY at liquidiv.com.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Destin, this is all you, my guy, because, of course, over on your personal YouTube channel, you've been following the ABK deal just so closely, so knowledgeable on everything. And, of course, we have the news this week that we have now 41 countries in total that have approved the ABK deal. New Zealand, the Commerce Commission, has now given their approval. And, of course, Dr. John Small said from New Zealand, while Activision games, in particular Call of Duty, are popular with New Zealand gamers, our inquiries did not find that they are likely to be must-have in order to compete with Microsoft in New Zealand. So the approval goes through down under, and another one added to the belt, 41 in total. Destin, fill me in, because you've been keeping tabs on everything here. How important is the 41st country? And, of course, where are we? When will this deal go through in your mind?
Where we're at is Microsoft is specifically trying to work things out with the CMA. So the CMA, in my opinion, can save face, backpedal, and recreate their verdict now that all of the updates have happened. As soon as the FTC lost their case and Sony signed that 10-year agreement, the whole tone from the CMA changed. If you watch that hearing with the CMA, they really went back to the drawing board about their arguments and have been working with Microsoft and Activision closely to figure out, okay, have you met all of our concerns? Yes or no? And they're standing on an island by themselves right now. Everyone else is approved. I think it's down to like Australia and China who are left for the big names, and that's it. So the FTC lost their case. The FTC isn't going to be going to trial this month. That's done. They're free to clear in the United States, but Microsoft and Activision have pushed the deadline out to October, meaning that at the latest, they will likely close in October, but all signs are pointing to things being wrapped up this month.
That would be exciting, Gary.
It'd be nice to finally put this behind us and get on with playing games instead of talking about legal briefs.
What's Destin going to report on? Destin, what are you going to move to now? Destin's got to make more content.
It's been hard. Mostly it's just complaining about Rockstar releasing $50 versions of games that are free on Xbox.
Man, shout out to backwards compatibility, right, Destin? Right. Come on, man. That's wild news coming out of Rockstar. Too, with what they're doing is right.
It's a big, big win on the Xbox front for sure. For
big
that
win. Backwards compatibility. We'll talk about it.
Some wins.
We've got some wins right there. Let's talk about another interesting one. Dollar Game Pass deal is back, but it's been updated. Xbox has updated its Dollar Game Pass deal to now only last 14 days instead of the 30 days and or 1 month. Players can try Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass for now $1 for 14 days instead of the previous 30-day trial. Xbox Game Pass on console doesn't have this $1 offer. But Destin, is this a move to be prepared for Starfield and only give you 14 days out of that instead of a full 30 days where maybe you would beat the whole game and never come back? Do you think this 14-day, two-week mantra is a better one than the 30-day offer than previously?
I wonder if it's because when it's 14 days versus a month, you can't do the $1 stack. That there was a trick where you could pay a dollar, stack like 3 years of Xbox Live and then convert it to Game Pass for a dollar. So Xbox was losing out on like half their revenue using that. I did that trick. Sorry, Microsoft. But it was a huge value. And I am a little curious if the 14-day thing is to sort of get rid of that loophole where players were able to utilize that trick.
That's interesting right there, Destin. I like that. Yeah, I find it interesting. I think the 30 days is such an easy sell, but it seems like 2 weeks seems to be the going norm on a lot of these things, and they always catch me, right? They always catch me. I sign up for these with the sweet deal, and then I forget to cancel it, and they get me for a month or two, you know what I mean? So, you know, here it is, but it's back again. That is a positive. They did take it away for a little bit. It is back, so you can tell your friends to get ready for Starfield next month to jump into that one. You know what is back as well, Gary? Because I have a special segment for you in just a moment, where we have one more news story. Killer Instinct is back.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. That's right. It's back. Evo 2023.
To our eternal shame, Killer Instinct.
No, Gary, that, I commented on that whole segment. You were flat wrong about Killer Instinct.
I know. That's, why, I'm, that's why I say shame game. And not pride.
Yeah.
That was the biggest backlash we've had, I think, on
that was a big piece of like, backlash.
Every now and again, Mike,
yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Very rarely.
Very rarely, but you hear from the community.
But it was on this mm-hmm. case.
And they filled us in, and they put us on. I went through Killer Instinct boot camp with one of my friends, and now I am a believer. I'm still a Mortal Kombat guy through and through, but I know that there is a Xbox diehard audience that want this back. And guess what? They're going to get a little piece back because the Killer Instinct Twitter page tweeted out the following. Our friends at Iron Galaxy are back, and together we're bringing you Killer Instinct's free 10-year anniversary update later this year, including a balance update, improved matchmaking, and 4K support for the Xbox Series X and S. More info coming soon. Destin, 10-year free update to celebrate. How excited are you? And does this mean Killer Instinct could get more?
I hope so. Killer Instinct never really went away in the fighting game community. It's still a game that a lot of people are playing. It was just at Evo this weekend with people still playing Killer Instinct to this day. They're going to be doing a balance pass on a lot of the characters that have been identified as overpowered. I am very, very excited about this. Gary admitting he was wrong, though. Would you say that's a combo breaker, Mike?
That's a killer combo.
Yeah, I was on a long combo as well before that one came along.
Sorry, that was a bad joke. I love Killer Instinct. I actually got to do the IGN reveal for Thunder, and I got to go to the studio when it wasn't Iron Galaxy on it at that time. It was Double Helix.
Yes.
So I got to go to Double Helix, get to see the guys who were working on it, do some like terrible VO, and they did the Killer Instinct voice to it. It was really, really fun, and I am very stoked to see that the game is still doing quite well and getting support for its 10th anniversary.
That's rad. And that'll be a fun boost. I think a lot of Xbox gamers will flock to this and kind of relive the glory days or maybe find it for the new time, right? And that's what's most important is bringing in new players, establishing that player base. And if you're Phil, guess what? Looking at Iron Galaxy, Rumbleverse just shut down. Maybe we make a phone call. Maybe we get a partnership going and bring this back and start making some moves. Because I will say this, really messed up that we don't have Master Chief in that game. We got Rash from Battletoads. We got General Ram. We got the Arb. We got the Arby, but we don't want to bring in Master Chief, Doom Guy. Come on, we got some characters we can put in this video game.
Maybe the Halo people don't like the idea of Master Chief getting. Like, I don't know what the Killer Instinct fatalities are like, but they don't want him like Ultra. Getting a giant thing shoved up his ass or whatever when he gets fatalitied.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
So you can't humiliate Master Chief. You know they have all these like brand rules.
Uh huh.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that, you know, stipulating now that Killer Instinct is a big deal and people do, in fact, give a fuck about it.
Yes.
Which I'm happy to admit I was wrong on. Do you think Microsoft would ever do another, like, full-on Killer Instinct release, like a new game? Because the thing is, like, fighting games are huge, right? And there are, like, Street Fighter VI and, like, all the big fighting games are generally on all the platforms for the most part. But this is Microsoft's thing, right? This is this could be their exclusive fighting game franchise, and a 10-year update is nice, but like if it was really that big a deal and they really believed in it, why not treat it like Mortal Kombat where there's like new ones all the time?
Destin, what do you think about that? Because my concern is when I look at the fighting game community, I think it's built off of the back of being everywhere and being available everywhere to have the biggest player audience, right? And so when it is year two to year three and we're getting ready to ramp up for the next one, you still have a large player base, right? My worry is if you make a console exclusive on Xbox, sure, you have Game Pass, which is going to be a big benefit for a instant install base, or you make it free to play. It still doesn't have enough juice or legs 2 years, 3 years down the line, that exclusively from away from the diehards, right? We know the diehards will be there at every Evo, but I think more people having hands on it is what benefits these fighting games. But I could be wrong, Destin.
Well, I mean, look at the fighting game field right now. We got Street Fighter VI that is doing amazing stuff, and people are really enjoying it, minus the Ninja Turtle costumes that are $15.
Yes.
Right? We have Guilty Gear that just came out, and it's being highly regarded. We have Project L right around the corner. There's all these amazing fighting games out right now, and if a Killer Instinct 2 came out, it wouldn't be the worst move Xbox ever made. I think the fighting game community would embrace it. I think longtime fans like myself would love a reason to hop into Killer Instinct 2. I wonder if the 10-year update is sort of that answer, though, right? Like, okay, we want to keep supporting Killer Instinct. I don't know that we can invest $50 million or however much. I have no idea how much a fighting game would cost them to make. But, like, they don't want to invest that much money, but they'll support Iron Galaxy in allowing Killer Instinct 1 to continue to be patched and, you know, texturized or whatever other update it might need. It's a really solid fighter. They did a lot with their combo system and the counter combos, and yeah.
I just wonder if there's an opportunity for them to invest in it more and try and make it a bigger deal. You know, we've talked about, like, the Xbox portfolio and what do they have, right? Mm-hmm. Shooters, they're covered with Halo and Gears of War. Driving games, you got the Forzas.
Got it.
Right? Strategy, Age of Empires. They don't have a platformer. We've talked about the need to address that. They don't have a great story-based experience like Last of Us or God of War Uncharted. We've talked about the need to address that. They do have a fighter, which is a big genre, right? But they just don't, they're not making a big deal out of it. Like, why not elevate it? Like, when you talk about Killer Instinct in the same breath that we talk about Halo and Forza and Gears, why not? I don't know.
This could be the moment, Gary.
Yeah.
Maybe you test right here with this update, and then Iron Galaxy it's kind of the perfect moment for them. We know, we've spoken with the team over at Iron Galaxy. They are very passionate about Killer Instinct and the work that they did do on the seasons that they were present for, and they still love that game. So it will be interesting. Could this be maybe just the beginning for more Killer Instinct?
By the way, talking about Phil and getting the checkbook out, you know, and then go back to the other conversation. You know what Phil should do?
Tell me.
Whack out the checkbook one more time. Buy Larian. Bring them in-house.
That's going to be a big check.
Larian stock just went, whatever Larian as a company to buy him out was worth a month ago, it's probably worth orders of magnitude of that now.
That's fair. But Larian has said, though, long and short of it, is that they're not for sale. Like,
everyone says that until you drive the fucking truck full of money up to their house and then see what they say.
Larian's not selling. They're idealistic.
Yeah, idealistic.
Now, Gary, of course,
they're not going to do it.
Mr. Spencer and the Team Xbox team, they bust out the checkbook for you because you have a new controller that you want to show off to all of us.
Very small checkbook, but I'm still grateful that they did it.
They swiped the card for you, as I like to say. Why don't we talk about that? Because, Destin, we're going to have a fun little segment here to end out today's show. What's up with Gary's controller collection? And what do we rate it? So you and I, Destin, we're going to look at Gary's controller collection with all of you watching and listening at home, and we're going to give him a thumbs up or a thumbs down with every controller he shows us.
We've talked on the show many times about how I've obtained too many Xbox Series controllers over the years. Yes. A lot now. Too many. More than I could possibly ever use. And I guess you're at a point where you're like, well, shit, I guess I collect these now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thing that I collect. Why don't we start with, so obviously the newest one just came out. People who watched last week will know that I shamelessly just said to the camera, send me a Storm Cloud Vapor. Ask and you shall receive.
Yep.
This arrived today at my house.
It's the brand new Xbox.
The new
Storm
one.
Cloud Vapor
so
controller.
So we're going to do a quick unboxing. This is, I don't know if Barrett wants to get in close on it, but this is against my blue t-shirt.
Yeah, why don't you?
It's actually really nice. I like it a lot. Do you have this one in hand yet, Destin? It's very nice.
No. I'm not a huge Xbox controller collector, but it's nice to see, you know, somebody competing with Alana for having the most Xbox controllers.
Well, wait. Don't tell me there's a contest. How many does she have?
Alana Pierce is a huge controller.
She's a much bigger influencer, social media person than me, so I bet she gets sent way more shit than I do.
Our good friend Ray Narvaez Jr. has a lot as well. He was on the hunt to collect every single one. So, Gary, of course, we are a heavy audio podcast as well. So why don't you tell people really quick about that Storm Cloud Vapor?
Well, why don't I hand that off to the good people from Xbox's marketing department?
Give us the press release one more time.
Let's read it, because we were talking about how, like, I love that they have to write this copy. Like,
yes,
it's a controller. Yeah. What do you want me to say? They have to write something.
Okay.
Right? And so they came up with, let's see.
Elevate your game. Vaporize your competition with the Xbox wireless controller Storm Cloud Vapor. Featuring a blue and black color swirl that's unique to every controller and rubberized blue diamond patent grips on the back case. Quickly pair with Play On and switch between devices, including console, PC, and mobile.
And there's a lot more, but that's the basic bullshit.
That's very good.
I didn't know that everyone, it must be the way that they do the colors or whatever. Each one is unique. Yep. That's actually really cool.
Every single one of those swirls is like unique. So you will see a different touch on all of these StormCloud Vapor controllers. They did this for a other controller as well. I'm not quite sure if it was the recycled one or if there's another one similar to yours, Gary. But yes,
I do. I don't often like the ones that are very like designed, like have color flourishes and stuff. I didn't like the digital camo ones. I don't have those, but I do like this one. This actually might be one of my new favorites.
Okay.
But yeah, so I thought since I was going to, I said, do you want me to bring this in? Because I have it in hand. I ended up, I took 2 minutes and I just rounded them all up. I actually brought in every controller in my collection.
You have brought me 28 controllers, Destin, just so you know. There are.
Is it 28? I didn't count
them. I have quickly counted. There's 28 controllers sitting next to us. Yes, there are. There's 28 controllers. And, of course, me and Destin are here for you to show and tell. So I would like you to grab a controller, tell me and Destin, of course, what it looks like, why you like it, and we're going to give you a thumbs up or thumbs down on the controller.
So we'll go back and forth. You pick, because some of them I can't even reach over there. Yes, you pick one, I'll pick one, and we'll do a little show and tell for each. So obviously this is the newest member of the family.
Let me give Destin.
Oh, you're going to start?
Destin, I'll start.
This is a divisive one to start with. The Horizon controller.
Get ready to grip it and rip it. When you when you jump into the horizon of the incredible Mexican Vista, you better jump in with the Forza Horizon Special Edition controller. That's right. This yellow Baja is going to scream, as you can see right through it and see that engine roar. Fitted with, of course, hot pink and neon blue touches. And, of course, white bumpers to accent this incredible controller. Not only does it have all of this color jam-packed into one controller, but it also has rubberized textured grips on the back that feel just like you're gripping and ripping a sick Porsche Cayenne across the Mexican desert.
First of all, Mike, that was amazing.
Thank you.
You put me to shame.
That's off the head. That's off the head.
I was reading copy. You improvised that. That's amazing. So this one is really, I hated the look of this when I first saw it. I didn't want it. But I became a convert after I got it in hand because a couple of things that are really cool. I still think the color scheme is offensive. But when you plug it in, the way that the, because it's a translucent plastic, when the Xbox Dual lights up, it kind of, that light radiates out through the whole controller and it's really cool. The other thing, as you mentioned, you kind of have to feel it to appreciate it. That rubberized grip on the back is the same shit that they make steering wheels in real cars out on. Mm-hmm. So it actually does feel like the feeling of holding a steering wheel. It made me think they should just put this on every controller because it's by far, sometimes I pick that and play with it just because it's the most pleasing one to hold. I don't know, Destin, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah,
oh, right? Destin!
I like using it, I don't like looking at it. But I'm not looking at the controller when I'm playing a game, I'm looking at the screen.
Not my favorite in terms of color palette. I like either solid black or solid white. I'm pretty boring, so yeah. I don't know. In terms of peripherals.
This is the perfect segment for Destin. I like the basic colors. Yeah. Destin, you and I are in for 28 controllers right now. I will really quick highlight this. Like you said, it is see-through. I love that you can see the rumble motor down here on the hand grip. I think that was really well done. They have not done many translucent Xbox controllers yet, so it is nice.
It does look great. On that. Playing in a dark room with it powered on, the light on the controller looks great.
All right, grab us
so one. Let's get some of these, knock some of these out real quick because they're not the fancy ones. Okay. Obviously, everyone's got basic bitch.
That's the carbon black.
Black.
Right? Oh, that one's gorgeous.
I mean, it's the classic.
It's beautiful.
I mean, all the way back to the Duke. Right? This was the color scheme, right?
Carbon black.
This is a classic. If you bought a Series X, you have this.
Yep.
If you bought a Series S, you have the white one.
Oh, I love that.
And I like the white as well. The white one's classy.
Robo white or robot?
Robot white.
Yeah, something
robot
like that.
White.
Nice. I'm remembering all these press rods.
They got to make it unique. So, Series S. Okay. And I guess if you buy the new black Series S that's coming out, you'll probably get a black controller.
I would assume you're going to get the carbon on carbon. Yeah, yeah.
And then the other two that they launched with at launch, we have them here, is just the blue and the red.
Pulse Red and Sonic Blue, I believe.
Correct.
Wow,
you're good at this. You got them all. I actually like these. I mean, they're just bold colors. If you like blue or you like red, this is a controller for you. What do you want me to say?
Destin, what do you think about the red and the blue?
I'll take it or leave it.
Okay.
Personally, like that's my take.
Let's get the pizza one
in there, Gary?
What's that?
The pizza control?
No, I don't want them. I think they're disgusting. They look like somebody threw up on them, and I don't
want them. Please send Gary a pizza controller.
Even as a control, like, they control me by sending them, but I don't want them. I would give them away. And I'm collecting these things, and even I draw the line somewhere.
Xbox, please send a pizza controller to Gary, because I would love for Gary to smell the pizza scent to it, because
don't
forget, it has the aroma.
I'll just order a fucking pizza.
Or even better yet, send it to Mike, and then Mike, you and I will sneak into Gary's house, hide him everywhere, and then Gary's just going to get scents of pizza every once in a while and just be like, where the fuck is this coming from?
I'll grab the next one.
What do you got there, Mike?
Of course, let me take you back to the medieval days.
This is a good one for you because you were just talking about
Age of Empires 2. Of course, celebrating that, you have the chainmail on the front hands right here. And the most important touch on this one is the red trigger here to, of course, signify the red cursor known in Age of Empires when you click and drag throughout the world.
That's cool.
Brown, kind of just...
I don't like the gloss finish. There. I think it makes it look a bit cheap.
Okay. Okay. Destin, what do you think about this?
I like it a little more than red and blue. Like, they have some character to it. So.
Okay. A little character.
Okay.
I like that.
That's okay.
And the pop with just the one.
I didn't even notice the chainmail. I saw it was... I didn't realize that's what it was doing. Uh-huh. That's cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I do the next one, Mike?
Yes, of course.
Because I right here have my original Xbox 360 controller.
Wired?
Yeah, my personal original Xbox 360 controller, wired, of course, to reduce latency to near zero, or as about as close as you can get. It has different colored buttons so that you know exactly what to press. You have A.
That still annoys me that the colored buttons went away.
And it has a D-pad that almost works sometimes.
Oh,
yes. Really nice. And the Jewel. It's also got all my fingerprints and gunk all over it.
Still one of the great controllers.
No, Destin, that's your original Xbox 360 controller you still have.
Yeah, no joke. I have it because I used to plug it into the PC, and it's just been in a box right there.
How cool.
When I heard Gary was doing the segment, I thought I'd take it down.
Oh, Destin, I love that. Now, Destin, a couple questions on that. Do you still have your 360 around? Do you still actively plug in any games on the 360? Do you play it at all? Is it just a relic now?
It's right there.
There it is.
It's on the bottom of my shelf. Yeah, because not like a year or two ago, they were doing the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So I busted out my copies of Mass Effect 1 to do the comparison over on IGN, where we took a look at the original Mass Effect running on 360 hardware versus the modernized version that they were doing with Legendary Edition. Wow. We did interviews with BioWare. So check that out on IGN. That was when I was working on the performance reviews and getting that whole series kicked off. But yeah.
How rad, Destin.
And then, by the way, that 360 controller is still a perfectly good PC game controller. Yeah. I imagine there's plenty of people out there still using them for that purpose.
Still works?
Yeah.
That's why I have it here by the PC?
Yeah.
That's rad.
Yeah.
That's rad. Destin, do you like the new models of where Xbox is taking these controllers? Because we look at the 360, it's a little bit slimmer, a different kind of design on that compared to where we are now. Are you happy with where we've kind of evolved?
I really like the Elite Series 2, personally. Ooh, I think it's a really, really nice design. I like the ergonomics of it. I have heard that the defects rate with one of the Elites were pretty high, though, and they've since addressed that. And they also have different pricing SKUs for this particular model, but I love that you can swap out the D-pad. Gary just had one with the circular D-pad on it. Uh-huh. My case is back there, but the weight, the grip of this feels great. And this is the one I actually use today more often than not. Like, if I got to play something on the PC and I want to use a controller, this is my go-to. So,
it's what I like about it. It feels like it's made with high quality materials,
correct,
right?
Yep,
do you want to get that one since we're talking about it?
I will. Now, Destin, are you a back paddle guy? How many back paddles do you rock?
I don't rock back paddles.
Get out of town.
I haven't figured out how to, like, do the programming and such. It's something I need to get into.
Destin, let me tell you what. The Xbox accessory app on your PC and on the console, so easy to understand.
Like, when I was
really good.
When I was trying to get good at Halo, didn't work. But when I was trying to get good at Halo, I put those paddles on and I assigned them and it was great.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
Very easy to assign. You'll have three profiles as well, Destin. So I have, like, a Fall Guys, a first person shooter one, and I adjust it all the time. I now rock three back paddles. I used to only rock two because it was comfortable. I've now stepped up to three. I can't wrap my mind around four right now because I came to jam a couple of them too many times. So I'm at three back paddles.
If I'm not using them, I take them off.
Yeah.
But a few things about that I really like.
Tell me.
You can tell that it's like premium materials, right? It's heavier. It just feels like it's made of better materials. I actually think sometimes that for really long gaming sessions, it's you start to feel the weight
a little bit
that you don't a typical one, but it feels premium. I love the way that you can charge it in the case. That's such a nice touch. There's a little USB outlet on the back of the case, so you can charge it in place.
Is that the new one, Gary?
That's the Series 2.
Series 2 on this one.
So it's the most recent one. yes, it's really nice. You can swap out the thumbsticks. I actually messed around with the torque on the, you know, you can take off the thumbstick and there's a little tool that you can tighten it and
tighter
make it
looser. Yeah.
So I was messing around with that when I was trying to get good at Halo. There's a lot of really, there's a lot of really good stuff going on there. Remind me, how many controllers are these? Did you destroy?
So I was going to bring up to Destiny. I am one of those people that have some broken Xbox Elite controllers. I am now on my fifth Xbox Elite controller. I have had many of issues with the bumpers breaking, where the bumper will start to lose, I don't know, traction or
it's
whatever.
Gummy.
Yeah, and then it just starts to fall apart inside, and so I've given a number of them to my friends to try to repair themselves.
Are you like really bearing down on it when you're playing? Because I've never had.
I don't
this
think
issue.
I'm bearing down. I think I'm putting in a lot of hours on them. I'm like 8 hours a day on them all the time. Right. I like love the controller, so I think I'm just overusing them. And of course, I think that's what's meant to happen. Eventually, it's going to wear down after that. So many gameplay hours, but I've had a number of four. I'm on five now. Of my Xbox Elite controllers breaking due to the bumpers and beyond.
Let's bring this up to date with what I think is currently my favorite.
Oh, okay.
My favorite non-Elite controller. The hype is real. This is a beautiful controller. Mm. This is an absolutely beautiful controller. This is a great example of like how to make a controller that is reflective of the brand, in this case Starfield, but without it being like with the Forza one ugly, and we've got some other ones that we'll show you. This one's just really pretty. It's the Starfield colors. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's from the world of the game. Like all the little markings and stuff are from the game. But it's like, you know, this is the controller that you will pilot your ship with. I love the little color spectrum. The headset that comes with this as well, by the way, is also beautiful. Also, yes, the transparent trigger. So you can see the motors moving when it rumbles. This, to me, is an example of really beautiful, well-executed controller design. And there's a reason why everyone's loving it, because it's a really well-done controller.
I got a small bone to pick. You ready for this? Destin, right next to you have an awesome special edition console, aka the Halo Infinite Special Edition Xbox Series S and X. Or X. I am disappointed we have not dipped our toes into more special edition consoles. I know we've had collaborations, but we haven't had like mass produced on sale ones.
Not too late. I can still announce one.
And I feel like the Starfield one would have been great, right? That red and gold and white would have been a really cool color combo on that Xbox.
Yeah, it's a good. I mean, maybe they've got it in their back pocket, but like I don't know. It's getting pretty close to release. Starfield is such a big game for them. Yeah, why? Like if there's any game other than Halo that they would ship a special edition console with, it would be this, I guess.
Yeah, there's somebody that does fan mock-ups all the time. I'm blanking on his name off the
Pope
top
Art.
Of my head. Yeah, Pope just tweeted about doing
Pope,
a design.
Pope has done some incredible designs, and I'll actually show off two Pope Art design controllers.
What do you got now?
Because Pope teamed up with the Outriders team to create four special edition controllers that highlight each and every one of the classes within Outriders, if you remember that. And so here are two. There was green, there was blue, I believe there was a red and a purple,
if I'm
not
wrong. Yeah, one for each class.
But they did team up with Pope Art to create all of these for Outriders. These controllers, I very much appreciate. I love the art. I think they do a disservice to Pope and his art when it is just clearly a sticker that can be peeled off of the face of the controller. So it's very much like, hey, how do we make these as cheap as possible, which I respect and understand. But like when you just take a black carbon controller and you just put a sticker on it, it just doesn't have that like special edition vibe like it should. That's all.
Oh, one other thing, just to go back to the Elite controller, one other bone I have to pick with the Elite controller. I don't know why they haven't fixed this yet. Still no share button.
Yes, Gary, still no share button. It's very disappointing. It is actually unbelievable.
You can map it to something else. I mapped it to a paddle because I wanted to be able to take screenshots, but I don't know why there isn't a dedicated share button yet.
Okay.
This is an interesting one.
Okay.
See this one here?
This is made for Destiny, I feel like.
No, it's half and half.
Half and half.
Remember those bad guys in Star Trek
that
had the white and the black faces down the middle, and one was white and black, and one was black and white, and it was like a whole allegory for like, why do we fight each other? We're all the same, really. this, though, is not that.
Tell me.
See, it reminded me more of the Jerry Seinfeld cookie.
Oh, the black. Honestly, when I first posted this, I got a lot of Jerry Seinfeld black and white cookie.
Of course, yeah.
But this, weirdly enough, this is such a bizarre one. I got this from a company called Sun Zero that makes blackout curtains.
Oh,
and
okay.
They did a marketing push where they were marketing blackout curtains at gamers. Because, like, I have blackout curtains in my room where I play games because, we get a lot of sun.
Those are blackout curtains.
Yeah. Sometimes you've got to have those really heavy blackout curtains.
Yeah,
Like regular curtains won't do it. Sun-Zero is a company that makes blackout curtains. They did a whole thing where they identify, oh, gamers would like blackout curtains. Mm-hmm. Let's make them. And in order to promote that, they sent me this. Here's what's really cool about it, though. No way to show it now, but if you actually leave this out in the sun, if you expose it to sunlight, the colors change. I think it becomes completely black or completely white. Oh. And then when the sunlight goes away, the you know how like those when you pour hot coffee into like a mug or whatever, you get to see the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
It's similar technology, I guess. But yeah, I took it out in the sun It totally works.
That's actually a really cool idea.
This is a weird one.
That's
right?
Fun.
Well, like nobody's utilized that tech since this curtain company made the controller, though. I think that's like, hey, Xbox.
Well, I mean, they know that gamers don't go out in the sun. So, like, who's ever going to see it?
Hey, what about glow in the dark? We don't have any glow in the dark controllers.
There might
that's
be
another
one,
I mean, right?
This one could, I don't know. This one might be. So this is this is a beautiful one. This is the Xbox 20th anniversary controller.
Those
classic
are
black. Classic Xbox green
those
on the back.
Those are translucent, right? Those are see-through.
Yeah, these are also translucent. So again, the color rate, it's a green Xbox jewel, black with green. So the color radiates out throughout the controller. This one, again, is a win for me. Simple, elegant, has the vibe of the classic Xbox, unlocks the OG Xbox background when you plug it in. That's always a cool
special
feature.
Special 20th anniversary background.
Yeah.
That's the one catch. Destin, of course, you know, you can have these controllers and they're unlocked special backgrounds and themes, just like your Stormcloud Vapor. But the catch is, the moment that you change it, you got to still have the controller plug in to re-unlock it.
That's right.
So it's not just there forever, which I wish didn't happen because all I want to do is plug in the controller.
You should just add it to your library and keep it there. Yeah,
help me out.
And then this one has got this little kind of charging pad on the back because I got this thing from Razer that goes with it. It's the 20th anniversary dock.
Mm.
And so this just sits on top of my little TV desk thing. It's always charged, basically. So this is actually my most used controller, A, because I like it. It's, you know, again, it's a simple, elegant design, looks good, classic Xbox vibes. But I never have to worry about it being out of charge because it's always plugged in. It's always sitting on a dock, unlike all the others.
Now, I think that's my favorite one, Gary. Like the front design of it. That's
beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Now, well, Destin, let me hit you with my favorite one because I think this is their best.
You're going to swap the D-pad out first? Okay.
Destin, what if I told you Master Chief is ready to recruit you to greatness? Spartan 117 got his own special edition Xbox Series Elite controller.
If we were doing tier rankings, this would be S tier for me.
All I see is a little face with the button sticking its tongue out. With the two eyes, the start and the
the
chair button.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot, because now I won't be able to unsee that.
Yeah, now you'll know.
I'm like, all right. Yeah, I liked it, and then I saw that, and I'm like,
it's a beautiful controller.
The Spartan green, it's got 117 on it. It's got a nice golden visor, his like amber gold visor.
Yeah.
Nice color touch.
Again, like Starfield, just it evokes the game by using the colors that are associated with it, but it's not splashy. It looks good. It
has some small scuffs and burn marks.
Got the battle damage,
buttons. So, yeah, this is a very good one that they made. And, of course, like I said, the special edition console, special edition controller, this was a perfect matchup for that big launch of Halo Infinite.
That's a beautiful controller. And it comes with, you get the fancy green braided USB-C charging cable and the very nice UNSC charging case as well. That's one of my favorites. When I use the Elite, that's what I use.
Good stuff, Gary. Hit me with another one for Destin and I to look at you.
This is another one. This would also be S tier.
Okay.
Do you remember what this one's called? The shiny, like metallic blue.
Arctic
this one,
blue.
It almost changes color.
Not
exposed to the light.
Blue. What is this, Barry? You're gonna have to look this one up for me. Back. It is Aqua something. I think it's Aqua something because on the back there, Destin.
What's this one called?
It has a
chat knows.
Blue and
I like,
white.
I'm having a reaction to this blue, and I don't like how I'm feeling right now.
You know, Aqua Shift is the name.
What's it called?
Aqua Shift.
Aqua Shift.
And guess what? The back controller, right where those grips are?
It's got
those waves,
vibes.
Gary,
yeah,
are all
that.
Unique
it's
as well, just like your Shadow Vapor.
Yeah.
Those are unique.
This controller makes me uncomfortable. I don't know why. But if we could just move on to the next one.
That's
the
weird opinion,
Destin, but I'll go with it.
you grab a couple more.
Why don't you pick one?
I'll pick one. Okay. You know what? These are the best, Gary.
Let's be real. You like these, don't you?
Come on, Gary. Let's have some fun. You've teamed up with some really cool companies before, Gary, and this one has got to be my favorite. Trolley sent you
Trolley gummy worms, yeah.
Gummy worm controllers. And not only did you get one with the blue and the neon pink, but you also got yellow and red that has three Trolley sour gummy worms on them. This is well done. This as well, not just not a sticker, which I really appreciate the nice attention to detail, making this feel really premium. Destin, what do you think about these trolley gummy worms? Do you think your kids would like this?
I don't know why, but I really like it.
Yes.
You guys are just really, so, you're backwards on everything. Like you don't like the classy ones. You like the really garish ones.
We're winning Destin over with a couple
it's
of these.
It's fun. It's a little fun, and it makes me want some gummy worms.
Well, so, you know, when they sent me this, I don't know if you remember, but I was raving about it. So Trolley, the company that makes like sour gummy worms and a bunch of those candies, they have a bunch of, they do the game tie-ins, and there was like Halo.
Yes. Peach rings.
Well, the best one was the Elden peach rings.
Yes.
When they did Elden Ring and it was like the peach rings, they were some, that got me hooked on, I didn't really thought I'd like peach rings, but they were really good.
You didn't think you were going to like peach rings?
Didn't think I was.
Those are universally loved candies. Those are
I've added them to my repertoire now.
Destin, have you ever had a gummy peach ring before?
I don't know what that is. No.
Like a sour candy, like a sour gummy, like a gummy one, but it's in a ring shape.
Next time you go to 7-Eleven, Destin, look for gummy peach rings. They're very good.
Those Elden peach rings were so good, man.
What do you got for me, Gary? Give us a couple more.
Destin is so
wildly unpredictable with his opinions. Like everything I think he's going to like, he hates and vice versa.
I love it. That's my favorite part.
This is another one. Just to recap so far, S-tier.
S-tier.
20th anniversary.
Okay.
Starfield. Aqua Shift.
S-tier for me. S-tier.
Another S-tier for me. Okay. I love this. Electric Vault.
This is the Vault, yeah.
Very, very, it makes a statement.
This is very much my favorite controller that they've made. Right, I like yellow a lot.
The camera's not going to pick up just how awesome this looks. Well, it looks kind of yellow on camera, but like to the eye, this is a fucking cool controller. You don't like this one?
No, I don't know. I don't like the flat neon green. I feel like I'm in the 1990s all over again. I don't know, man. Not for me.
A very special kind of yellow. It kind of looks green. I think a lot of people either love or hate that one, so I get his reaction to it.
Destin, if you had to use one of these, which one would you use?
No, he's not playing.
The blue one, I guess. It looks better in this lighting, so maybe you change the
lighting. This one isn't flat, right? This has a little sheen to it.
I like that.
Why don't you pick one, Mike?
My turn on this one. I'm going to pick a big trio here for you, Destin.
Oh, yeah, because this comes as a set of three, yeah.
Destin, LeBron James has done a lot of incredible things. 21 years in the league, drafted at 18 years old. He's a father. He's a family man. He's a world champion.
He opened a league school MVP, for the community.
Opened
right?
a school.
Oh, awesome.
The I Promise schools. He's done a lot of great things. And then also he tried his hand at acting. And some of those roles haven't been good. Particularly
Space
Jam.
He's been good in some things.
He was very good in Trainwreck, but not Space Jam.
Thinking about this just the other night, remember for the longest time, what if they did Space Jam 2 with LeBron? Like, that would be the Holy Grail. And the movie came out and nobody cared. But they did do these three controllers. And these weren't just promotional. You could buy these in store. They sold these.
So now to, of course, go over it, you have the iconic Toon Squad with Bugs Bunny and LeBron and Space Jam A New Legacy.
But you can't read the text. If the text wasn't there, I'd be all for it. But it's like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
Their arch rivals in purple and black, you have the Goon Squad,
which you also can't read properly. Yeah.
Can't read that text at all.
Would have been good without
this one is probably the best of the three.
Of course, if you haven't seen Space Jam A New Legacy, you would understand that they get sucked into a multidimensional wormhole where the Cybertron is trying to take over the basketball world. And of course, Don Shield
is the algorithm.
This is your cool algorithm controller right here. It's blue. It's black with neon blue. A lot of looks like the inside of a computer, essentially.
That's the only one where if you didn't know it was Space Jam, you might think it was like a limited edition thing they did with an artist. Kind of like modern art or something.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. It's sort of like tech vibe. I like the nice cyan blue.
If you look really close, right, they have like Bugs Bunny's head on that one. They got a basketball. So like there's very nice touches to it all if you look up close with the detail.
I'm just mad about the text. They could have put it like on the handle or something so you could still read it.
Can't even read the Toon Squad.
It's a cool design, but like they could have done the text justice.
I would go the blue one first, then purple, and then the Toon Squad one is dead last.
You
wouldn't be seen dead with that. That's the one when you got people over.
Yeah.
Like when you get that controller, that's like yeah, you know that you're not like the favorite person at the party.
Oh, it's you like, get the bad control.
Yeah, you know how like someone always gets the wonky controller?
Yeah, the old N64 one that's duct tape because the wire in half.
That's the aesthetic version of that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Gary, so you have...
We're coming down.
You have five controllers left by my count, maybe six. I don't know what that blue one is.
Two left on your side. I ended up with a duplicate blue.
You got duplicate.
I'm going to bring that in.
So right now we have five. You have four, I have one.
I've got some fun ones left.
So show off your four. Why don't you...
You did the two... Should move through this. You did the two trolleys. Yeah. I'm also very good friends with the fine people at Butterfinger.
You got
and
friends.
Butterfinger has made controllers over the years. Butterfinger does a lot of like viral, you know, gamer stuff because they know that gamers like candy bars and
peanut butter and candy.
What have you. I kind of wish that Reese's would get into the game because imagine like a controller with that bright orange Reese's color scheme.
I like Butterfinger's blue and yellow right here that you're showing off.
I like Butterfinger. I prefer Reese's in all things except the peanut butter cups. The Butterfinger peanut butter cups, I think, are better.
Oh, they are very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good.
And they're square.
They're square.
The Wendy's
and
hamburger.
They got that little crunch.
They innovated. So
yeah, show them off.
They did one that was this one's kind of a glossy one, which was, you know,
blue and yellow, the iconic Butterfinger colors.
Game better with Butterfinger. They went that way.
That was the campaign slogan.
And then I kind of like this one that is more of that because I like the matte finish. And as you can see, it's got like the chocolate.
Kind of chocolate splash. It reminds me of
Nesquik. Chocolate splash on it. Like this one.
Chocolate milk in.
Would you, Dustin, would you play a game with either of these controllers?
Well, the one on the left looks more like a Nestle Quick commercial than it is for Butterfinger.
Yeah,
or
Yoo-hoo.
I think chocolate milk. Or
yes,
Yoo-hoo.
Chocolate milk.
And then you brought it up a few times, but the finish on the one on the right kind of ruins it almost. Like, I think it didn't have that
finish,
if it was
cheap.
Matte.
It looks cheap.
It makes it look cheaper than it was.
It looks like a cheap, fucking Madcap.
Interesting. I kind of dig the glossy finish. I like the shine. Interesting.
We have a couple more of those to go.
Okay,
we have
one
of you.
Three left.
Smell what the Rock is cooking over here.
Let me tell you what the Rock is cooking, Jabroni. Of course, as you know, the Rock does many of things. Okay, he's in movies. He's out there bringing back the XFL. He's a world-renowned wrestler.
You know what else?
One thing else he does.
Fair play. Just real Tell quick, because today's the 100th day of the writer's strike. He also donated a shitload of money to SAG-AFTRA.
He's a goddamn good
dude. To help the actors and writers who are struggling during the strike. Over $1 million.
Let me tell you what else he does.
What a guy.
Jabronis. He's got tequila and he's got energy drinks. Welcome in Zoa Energy. That's right. You can have the power of Terramana in your hands when you jump in and jump in with Zoa Energy. Right here, you have the Rock's famous kind of Hawaiian vibes to it.
Is it a Samoan thing?
Samoan, yeah, that's the right call on that one. And it is black with gold. It has the Zoa Energy drink logo here on the handle. And it's got a glossy finish that we're kind of mixed feelings on. It's the Rock. Destin, what do you think about this Zoa Energy drink one?
It's not my favorite, but I don't like despise it. Like, it's not bad. It's got that shiny finish, though, again.
Yeah.
That I don't know if it's just on camera. Maybe it looks better in person, but to me, it kind of detracts from it.
No, it's pretty shiny.
I like matte.
Yeah. I think if this were the exact same controller in matte, it would look a lot better.
Like, maybe make the gold glossy and then everything else matte. I think that could have worked a little bit better.
That would be cool. Yeah. I think the matte would give it more of a level of quality or even texture to it.
Mm-hmm. I quite agree. When they launched the Zoa Energy drink, they sent many people, they sent like the little Xbox before you could go buy the Xbox
fridge
Target, they had
version
like
1.0
version. Yeah, yeah. I still use that. I keep my drinks in it. And they sent me a bunch of that controller and a bunch of Zoa, which I had to pour out because it's like the full I can't, these things have like 50 grams of sugar in. But I had a sugar-free Zoa today and it was actually very good.
Oh my gosh, Gary. That's some great words from you, right?
But that
there.
Controller just lives at the bottom of a box of controllers. I don't think I've ever used that one.
All right, you got two left. Show me and Destin the final two.
Well, I've got a couple here from the design lab.
Okay. From the design lab themselves. You cooked up.
Did you make them?
I made one and my daughter made the other.
Okay, so we'll have to be positive on one.
We'll do mine first.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to do. As you know, Paris had already set the bar very high with the car can't cook.
LA thing. Lakers, car can't cook.
Yeah, and he had
slogan.
The beautiful yellow and purple Lakers colors. So I did. I at least took the Lakers thing from him, and I picked the colors of my sports team.
Yes.
To my eternal suffering, I guess I am a fan of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Spurs.
In the English Premier League.
Yes, of course.
And we don't have a lot of luck.
Oh.
We like other clubs like to make fun of us because we never win anything.
Oh, no.
But these are, you know, these are the colors. It's essentially the kind of white, navy blue, and with a little bit of yellow. Mm. So I messed around with different combinations, like what best kind of evokes the Spurs vibe. Yes, yes. And I came up with this, and I put Spurs on the bottom.
Yeah.
Because you can add a little, you know, message down here, personalize it. Mm-hmm. And this is, I don't know, this one I designed myself, Destin. What do you think of this?
It's terrible.
Yeah. Wrong again. Fucking flat wrong again. Flat wrong again. He's been wrong on every single controller. Why would he be right about this one? You're so
fine, I guess,
off.
Gary.
You like the gummy. The fact that you like
Destin,
the gummy
the
worms
colors
one.
Of your channel.
The fact that you like the gummy worms one and you don't like this just solidifies the fact that I'm right.
You too.
I feel like they gave you color options for all the different parts of the controller and you felt like you had to add something to each of those layers. So that, no.
That's just some feedback from Destin. It's just some feedback.
I think it's just fine.
Have you ever designed one, Destin?
No, because I'm not going to buy 40 different... I already have like 17 Xbox controllers, so I don't feel like I need
to go. So you don't know what you're talking about is what you're saying.
He's coming at me, Destin.
I'll go design one. And
go fucking design one in the design lab online. Bring that to me, and I'll tell you what I think.
It'll be all black.
You bring it to him, Destin. I have one, you have one.
Let's do this one. Another shiny one.
This one I'm not pleased with, of course, as you know. We always love celebrating Halloween in October. We love spooky, scary games. And a lot of Xbox gamers love Left 4 Dead. Well, unfortunately, it's not Left 4 Dead. It's Back 4 Blood. And, of course, you can have this blood-splattered all-white controller at your home. It's a glossy finish with a whole lot of red, like dark red blood, just splattered across the front of it. Not much design to it. Not really standout special, but a lot of blood. Destin, where do you fall on the blood?
It's like thematically, it kind of works. Actually, I don't hate it. Yeah, it's not like it's not top. I think I agree with Gary on the Starfield controller. Starfield controller.
That's the only one that you've got right.
Yeah,
and because the trolley.
No one thinks the Starfield. That's like the easy mode. No one thinks the Starfield controller is ugly.
It's dear. Show them.
Again, that has the gloss problem as well.
It has the gloss problem. I know you don't like the gloss. Show them the final one.
All right,
show them the final one.
I'm going to cover up part of it here because what my daughter, she put her Xbox gamer tag on.
Oh, let's cover that up.
See that.
You said you were going to show the daughter controller and then he showed the Back 4 Blood and I was confused for a second.
Oh, no, she would love that controller. She loved that controller. Yeah. Sure, that was cool. So this is what she designed.
Okay.
And as you can imagine.
I like this a lot.
Her favorite, and they change all the time, but her favorite colors at the time, they might still be actually, were kind of pink and purple. So she went with, so you've got two-tone pink in the back with purple accents. She went with the full color buttons, which I support. I love the colored buttons. This is what she went with. It's a very girly controller. She's an 11-year-old girl. And this is what she picked. I actually was going to mention when Destin was showing his old 360 controller, I had the pink 360 controller, and that was my favorite color. I love pink. I think pink is a terrific color. I'm actually trying to incorporate more pink into my wardrobe.
You look great in pink.
Oh, yeah. I have these pink socks that are really
good. You want to wear pink next Wednesday? I'll wear a pink sweatshirt into the work.
Yeah, all right. Let's do that. We'll wear pink. Destin, you like this one?
I actually do. Yeah, I like the design of it. I like that she used pink on the front and then a different pink on the back. So it's like a change, but it's not too drastic.
Now, do you like it because you actually like it, or do you like it because you understand that slagging off the controller I designed and slagging off the controller my daughter designed are two different propositions?
No, I think your daughter has much better eye for design than
I can't. To be
perfect dancer,
I actually can't argue with that. She takes after her mother. She gets that. I have no.
She likes
at all.
Sims.
She loves the Sims. She loves Splatoon. She loves Pokemon.
Yep.
We're redoing our kitchen right now, and every time I make a suggestion, it's awful. Like I have no aesthetic eye at all. Like, I just let my wife make all the decisions. And every time she picks something, it's like, I don't think that's going to work. Like, and it does. Yeah. Or I say, I think this is going to work. And it looks fucking awful. So I don't have an aesthetic eye, but except with controllers, which I'm always right about.
Except with controllers, which he's always right about.
So that's the collection.
I'll give you Starfield.
Yep. With Storm Cloud Vapor as the newest addition. I only about three or four of these are ever in rotation. The Starfield one, the 20th anniversary.
Yep.
My daughter's one, and maybe go back and forth between the Aqua Shift and the Electric Vault. The rest just live in a little box.
28
somewhere.
Controllers. We got to get them out of the box, Gary. I need you to figure out a way to find somewhere in your house. Maybe it's down a hallway. You need some sort of just shelf where they all need to go one by one, so it's like a cool wall where you can see them.
I mean, I talked about that. I said to my wife, what do you think about getting those little brackets? Oh, wait, what is that one?
Gary,
I didn't realize it was right there on my desk. I have the Halo 20th anniversary one. This
oh,
was,
shit.
I
don't have that one.
That one came with the console.
Why you got to show me that? Yeah, oh, because it only came with the console? Could you buy it separately?
No. I think you could, actually.
Oh, you think so?
Shit, I got to get on that.
They had a sale on the controllers, and like these went really, really fast.
That's actually really nice. Like that's another classy one. I like that. I like the gold accents, yeah.
That's actually a pretty good design.
But very nice.
Beyond that, I have like the Elite and then, you know, the Solid Black and the Solid
So, Destin, let me ask you this. Given that we've established that your opinion is not worth two bags of shit.
Yeah.
That was good. How would you rank your top three that we looked at today? Put them in order for us. Give me your first, second, and third place.
All right. Elite, Starfield, and the one with the translucent front that
Which
you
Elite?
Said you used a lot. The Elite Series 2.
Yeah, but the Master All Chief black. One or the black one?
The one we both have, this
okay,
one.
All right. So all that's black. Number one, yeah. Starfield. Yeah. And what was your third one? The Forza the one, the pink and yellow one?
No. It's like a blue but it's translucent.
The 20th anniversary?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You know what? Even though in the main, opinions here have been fucking wildly off. It's hard to disagree with those top three.
He's got a great top three. He's got
what about you?
My top three are 100% the Forza, the red and yellow trolley gummies.
Oh my God. Okay.
And the,
I mean, similar aesthetic, right?
The yellow and the Butterfinger pink. Blue and yellow with the Nesquik look.
You just went all out. Like
I like yellow.
Garish, bright,
I like
face
bright.
Colors.
Yeah, I love it.
What's your daily driver at home?
My daily driver at home is the Elite Series 2 Halo Edition controller.
It's nice.
I'm playing a lot on my Elite. I think it is the best controller in gaming. I swear by it. I've found alternatives that are cheaper that I do believe in as well. Shout out to Victrix. I did that review on the podcast a couple months back. I think Victrix has a very good alternative to the Elite controllers that are cheap, that offer the back paddles, and are very, very good controllers for what they are. I like those a lot, too. Yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to get my YouTube channel going. I should do like a show and tell YouTube video. I mean, I've just done it, but I should put it on my
own
channel.
There's one for your show. You're giving Destin some content.
Oh, no, but I know where there's an opportunity because I'm also trying to blow up on TikTok right now. I'm putting a lot of stock in TikTok.
Well, let's go around right now because it is the end of the episode. We're celebrating 150 episodes of the XCast. I got to get you two to your loving families. So, Gary, I'll let you go first. Where should the audience go find you? What things do you want them to go out and absolutely smash and help you with?
Three things. My second novel, Gundog, which you are very familiar with, is out September 12th in bookstores everywhere. The audio version was a worldwide blockbuster. Now, you know, you can read it. So that's out September 12th. Go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, indie bookstores, wherever. It'll be wherever books are sold. Obviously available also as a ebook. And then in terms of my socials, you know all the obvious stuff, but the two I'm trying to push right now is
push it.
YouTube, G Witter, TikTok, Gary Witter, at Gary Witter. I did a TikTok where I am sitting on the toilet with laser beams coming out of my eyes because there's a filter that lets you do that. And like, you can't tell this from the video, but I was actually taking a shit at the time that I took that TikTok.
Gary?
So
I don't think that's how you market your tits.
Well, you'd be again shows what you know, Destin. Your fucking play button over there, like you've got all the answers. That was my most successful TikTok yet.
Oh, that's incredible.
20 views.
Fuck you. Hold on a minute.
Oh my God.
I'll tell you how many fucking views I've got on it.
He's gonna tell you how many views he's got, Destin.
Yeah, okay.
He's gonna tell you.
All right, okay.
Tell him.
335 views. Thank you very much.
335.
13 likes. Come on.
I did think you were going to say 335,000, but I didn't think we had 300.
Charlie fucking D'Amelio, watch out, because I'm going to be the king. I make you this pledge. A year from now.
1 year.
I'm going to be the king of TikTok.
Okay.
Or I will have gotten bored and given up. One of those two will definitely happen.
No in between.
Yeah, there's no in between.
Okay, I love that. I love that. Follow Gary on TikTok and follow him on his YouTube channel on his road to 100,000.
TikTok's a thing, right? So I got to get on there and try and promote my book.
Got to heat it up.
I'm going to be doing more adventurous TikToks. Heat it up.
Let's go over to Destin. Destin, thank you so much for joining myself and Gary on the podcast today. It is awesome to have you. Just like I told McCaffrey, I've been a huge fan of yours. I have listened to you countless times. You are very important in my life, and I know so many other Xbox gamers. So thank you, Destin, for your time and being on the show and, you know, letting my gaming dad yell at you. I appreciate that. But Destin, congratulations on 100,000 on your personal YouTube channel.
Thank you.
Where should they go to support you, get more Xbox updates, and, of course, get to see cool content and opinions from you?
Well, of course, you can always find my personal stuff, youtube.com/thedestinchannel or at Destinel. I'm making a TikTok right now, which, you know, so it's like at Destin349 and a bunch of numbers. But there is my, you know, personal YouTube. But
you have 1,500 videos on your channel?
Yeah, that's I did a video a day for a year.
Oh, shit.
So, like, I was doing it for, like, 5 years, just kind of doing random stuff. And then I said, I'm going to do a video a day for a year. And I had, like, a big boom the last year covering the Activision case because everybody just kind of wrote it off. Like, nobody was really covering it. So when Brazil did their investigation, I just downloaded the documents, translated them into English, and then there's a ton of interesting stuff in there that a lot of people just weren't covering. So I started talking about it, and it really picked up traction over the last year. And
it was
then,
perfect. Short form content is what people wanted. Destin went in with there with a fine tooth comb. He brought in experts. He brought his opinion. Like, it was a perfect mix of like, this is what I need to learn more. Destin's hitting it. I'm not sitting there for 2 hours doing a long podcast. It was like, it was perfect. Destin, you did a great job on that, man. Great job.
As Gary pointed out, my opinions are garbage. So I brought in experts who knew what they were talking about.
That's what you do. That's what you do. When you acknowledge that you have
my
bad opinions, you got to bring in experts. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But really excited about IGN because we're going to be going to Gamescom. We're going to be doing a ton of coverage over there. So don't miss that. I will be in Germany this year. I'm not sure if I'll see anybody from Kind of Funny over there, but it's always great to say hi. Maybe Paris will go again. Who knows? But anyway, definitely check out IGN's coverage. We're doing a lot of the pre-planning right now, and hopefully you'll see me live a few times.
That's awesome. Thank you, Destin. Thank you, Gary. And, of course, Barrett for 150 episodes. Shout out to Alana Pierce. Shout out to, of course, our guy Paris, who can't be here this week. And shout out to all of you for making this dream a reality. Thank you for watching and listening to the podcast. We will be back again for 151 next week, and we'll continue the fun here on the Kind of Funny XCast. Until then, play some games. See you later. Bye, everybody.